This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, hour number two starts right now. 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this FEF Friday in the big city. If you're living under a rock, you don't realize as part of FEF Friday, we have our comedian of the week, F for Funny. We've got that again this week with Paul Odo. Barry gave you the backstory, and we have two more clips from him, 215, 315. Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football expert, 2:30 today, because we did not do it yesterday being on remote. Then 3:30 today, Sarah Barshot, beat writer for ESPN covering the Texans, will get us a preview leading up to Texans hosting the Raiders on Sunday. And I would like to say for our Twin Peaks fantasy football leagues that I'm back. I'm going to start destroying everyone in my wake. Drew Brees is back for me, which helps. And oh, by the way, that guy I drafted late that no one had faith in, some guy named Dalvin Cook, he played pretty well last night for the Vikings, even though the rest of the team was just meh. And I'm happy for that.
Well, good for you. It's thrilling to hear about your fantasy team.
Did you watch the game at all last night?
I was unable to. I mean, they had it on in the bar, but I was unable to.
Be honest, even if you were able, you wouldn't have watched that garbage.
Probably not. It didn't have the makings of an exciting game to watch.
One touchdown the entire game. Dalvin Cook got
welcome to Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and all of the reunion games. I said it was the AP Kirk Cousins Bowl and also the Case Keenum Bowl. Case Keenum gets a concussion in the first half. He's out. You know, Washington is – Adrian Peterson still got 76 yards. And by the way, he became the sixth all-time leading rusher in NFL history, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But obviously the Redskins are a complete and utter mess. And then, you know, overall –
well, it was obviously the coach, right? I mean, that's what it is.
It's the owner is what it is. It starts at the top, and it trickles down, and it's flowing very, very rapidly down, and it is a cesspool in Washington.
Pretty bad.
And Kirk Cousins played well enough to win. So there you go. So the Vikings got a win, and that's all we need to say about the game last night. About the what I was telling you guys before the break, some crazy stuff here. So first I had mentioned the Orlando Scandrick story. The Eagles cut him for the second time. He thought he was coming back for the rest of the year, and he was going to be a big help to a secondary that desperately needs help in Philadelphia. He left. He went on FS1, and he basically said to the Eagles, that locker room is different. I'd tell guys when I came there, I felt like they were still living off the Super Bowl. It's over. They're living in the past, and he said he felt like him being cut was scapegoatish. He said the problem in Philly is much, much bigger than me. So he stirred the pot there. Malcolm Jenkins, the all-world safety for the Eagles, came back and said, to know now that that's the kind of person that was in your locker room, it feels good to know he's not here. Anybody that we have in here, we want to make sure that we have each other's back. It's a family. Team is very, very close. If you look around, I think everybody in here can trust one another. We feel like we have what it takes. So whatever you take whatever you want of that. The Eagles obviously played poorly against the Cowboys. They definitely need secondary help. I don't know if Scandrick finds his way to another team. I had said early on the Texans should kick the tires, but a bad look overall when things like that happen.
Yeah, you hate seeing it, but, I mean, though guys like Scandrick are going to have things to say. I mean, that's just what they do, right?
Yeah.
Like, would it surprise you if Jalen Ramsey said something like that? No.
Right.
So, yeah, that's you get the sense that the Eagles are still like that. I feel like there's some truth in what he's saying is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I believe him.
I think that, obviously, as we always say, the truth lies in the middle, but it may not be as extreme as he's painting the picture to be, but there's probably, you know, some signs of that. And then Michael Bennett, who went to his brother Marcellus Bennett's favorite team to try and win a Super Bowl as he joined the Patriots this year. He was suspended last week for conduct detrimental to the team. When they asked him if he had learned a lesson and he was ready to go, he said no. He said, you know, you just sometimes have to suck it up. And he said, basically, there's no love lost. Well, when you have no love lost with Bill Belichick, that means that you're going to be looking for another squad very quickly. They found a taker for Michael Bennett in the Cowboys, of all people. Huh. Michael Bennett now heading to Dallas for a late-round pick as he adds to the Dallas defensive line. Dallas is a team that I think needs more help in the secondary than anything else, but they bolster their D-line, Michael Bennett, to join the Cowboys. And oh, by the way, Cowboys and Patriots play later this year. That adds a little more fuel to that fire.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't think that Cowboys secondary is awful. I mean, they're doing all right. But
they're okay. I think there's nothing special about them.
Hell, they're not as terrible as the Eagles and the Texans and, you know, Raiders. But I would be willing to bet you that they're probably top 10 in yards allowed, top 12, something like that. But you feel like the Cowboys rich got a little richer because they've got a hell of a defense over there in Dallas. So that'll be interesting when he plays the Patriots. When did you say that game was?
It's in a couple weeks. I don't have the schedule up right now, but I looked at it this morning. I know it's in a couple of weeks, and that should make everything interesting. And obviously,
November 24th.
Okay, there you go. And right around Thanksgiving, and lots of typical Bill Belichick. They asked if his backlash was part of the factor in trading him. He said, there's a lot of factors, multiple considerations. Look, in the end, he's a good player. We brought him in here to help our team. I think he would help us, but we only have a certain number of certain things we have to work with and work around, and that's what we have to do. And oh, by the way,
we're on to Cleveland.
His defensive line coach that he got into it with, former Wisconsin head coach Brett Bielema, who left in the middle of the night for more money to take the Arkansas job. He deserves every bit of what he gets, and he should lie in it. And basically, he likes the food table in New England. I just want to let you know.
But I'm not bitter. You're not bitter, though, so that's good.
No. Obviously, the Patriots had large expectations when they brought him in. Being said, the Chiefs also, just breaking, they have announced that though he has somewhat participated in practice the last 2 days, Patrick Mahomes will not play Sunday night in Sunday Night Football for the Chiefs at home. So he's out.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know who they play, but, you know, probably kudos for the team they're playing.
I thought they were, I thought they were saying that it was possible he would play.
Yeah, he had practiced for 2 days. He was limited the first day. He practiced more yesterday. But today they said they've ruled him out against the Packers on Sunday night. So I'm sure for a lot of reasons, people, NBC and others, are more than disappointed. He's not going to give it a go. But again, when you're dealing with the MVP of the league, like the Chiefs are, you got to make sure you handle that situation with kid gloves because you don't want him to re-injure anything or get worse to where he can't lead you late in the season. It's early enough. They're in a division they can probably control and win. They need to be safe with him.
Yeah, so, I would agree. I mean, that's certainly not a position or a person that you rush back.
Right. Right. So that's basically your other NFL headlines of the day that we want to get out there.
There's another big NFL headline.
Give it to me, Nicholas.
Tell them about the Texans fan at Twin Peaks that walked up to you and said the Packers suck.
Oh, Nick enjoyed that yesterday. Guy. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So I was wearing a Packers.
That came up and told you the truth?
So you can get, if you want some of this too, you can get some. But we were sitting there before we went on the air. And I had my Packer hat on, and Nick and I are sitting there, and he's got a Texans hat on, and he basically has a bright orange sweatshirt because I'm sure he's doing road work. And he walks towards us, and he just decides to go, yo, what did he say, Nick? He said something about
Barry's the best, Packers suck.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. And he said Packers suck. I go, really, man? Who's got a better record? Have you seen our record lately? And what else? And he just went, and I went, okay. You can move on.
Well, so that was the same guy that when he walked out, he just yelled at you?
No, so then he told his two buddies and he waited. They actually waited till we got back on the air. And I have a headset on. But his buddy, the freaking caboose of the train, waits till we get back on the air and he goes, hey, man, Packers suck. I was about to throw my headset off and just follow them out and trash the hell out of them. But I was like, you know what? His buddy took enough abuse for one day and we let him go.
You know what's the most disappointing thing about this whole story?
What?
You said our record.
I don't care what you think.
Get them.
Oh, I mean, that's why we do this show. Get 'em. I don't care what you think.
Our record?
Yeah.
Well, did you really? Did Joseph?
I don't even remember what I said, but if that makes the story better, I'll go with it.
Our record. You'll be glad I wasn't there.
I don't know why I feel like alienating Joel, but in the hallways, he also said us when he was talking about the Rockets, just so you know, Barry.
Well, now, I give him pass on that, though.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you trying to be my daughter right now, Nick? You're like a little tattletale. God, we get on Taylor for being a tattletale. You might take the
cake. Joel says there's certain teams that Joel can say us about, and I kind of have to move the line for him for Wisconsin because he uses the whole Wisconsin lacrosse. Which
here we go. This is like going to A&M Kingsville.
It's like going to A&M Kingsville and saying Aggies and we. But I give it to him when he says Wisconsin and we. And then, look, Portland, if he says we and us. Rockets, if he says we and us. He was in those organizations. Former Texans say we and us, and I get it. So I'm not going to hold that against him. But as far as I know, he never played or worked for the Packers.
Not yet. Hey, Nick, you can say we and us for chess club or whatever the hell you had when you were a kid. So whenever anybody mentions chess club, you got a we and an us loaded up, ready to go. That's fantastic.
Let's talk about whether or not you should be awarded or issued a championship ring. What are your thoughts on that, Barry?
You want to go all the way back to that?
I don't know why I'm that dude in this segment. You know that guy?
Oh my God,
and everybody's
so
had
funny.
This in your group of friends where all they do is they go in, they stir stuff up, and then they just leave. Like,
yeah,
they stir everything
Barry
up, and once
Granato
they do, they
nutshell.
Disappear.
Yeah, it's Barry and John Granato.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Nicholas, are you seriously asking me, do I have one of those friends? Yeah, he's down the hall. His name is AJ Hoffman.
Very true.
He is the world's worst about that. Yes, I have one of those. Are you kidding me?
By the way, coming up next segment, we're going to talk about the city jerseys for the Rockets, and we're going to break those down top to bottom until we get to the bottom
Joel
of the hour,
stirring the pot.
Where Sigmund Bloom's going to join us to talk fantasy football, because if we're going to start F Yeah Friday in for flinging, I'll fling as well. I'm just letting y'all know.
Man, this show could just...
Get
off
the rails in a hurry, couldn't.
This is my kind of show.
Yeah.
Boy, if we can start shooting shots, oh, yeah. And I'm in Wichita, and I can just go, sorry, I didn't hear y'all. What'd you say?
Mm-hmm. And then Nick could accidentally disconnect you.
Oh, hey, look at that.
There's all. There you go.
Hey, I got to tell the people about GetUpside. Guys, I am loving this. I am so excited about it. I cashed out. I'm starting up anew again. And you could be doing the same thing. Look, I've got listeners that have said they've had $500 in their GetUpside account. Are you getting cash back when you fill up your tank? Are you getting cash back when you eat out? If you're not using GetUpside, chances are the answer is no. You could be getting up to 25 cents a gallon. Do math on that just for a second. If you were getting up to 25 cents a gallon, if you got one of these big old trucks that everybody drives around in Houston, that's a lot of money you're leaving at the pump if you're not using GetUpside to fill it up. Same thing for food. If you eat out a lot like I do, you could be getting up to a third of your meal back every time, up to 35% cash back. Back in your pocket every time you use the app. Guys, it is absolutely amazing. You're going to love it. Stop leaving money at the pump. Stop leaving money at the table. Do yourself a favor right now, like me, like AJ, like Nick, and hundreds of other listeners. Go download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and you know what to do. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Going, and because here's the deal, we all live in New York City, and I feel like New York City is sort of a microcosm of the rest of the world. It's just very dense, so you experience things in a very dense and intense way. So people get scared about being in New York sometimes because of all that intensity, but they're scared for the wrong reasons. They're scared because they're like, can I go to Times Square without putting my wallet in my private area? It's like, no, that's not what's going to happen, really. Like, that's not what's to be afraid of. The thing to be afraid of in a place like this is that when something very weird will happen to you, or something, a situation arises that you need help, the whole city collectively just turns its back, and you just feel the cold nothing of everyone ignoring you.
Paul Odo, Comedian of the Week, F Yeah Friday, F for Funny. A lot of you idiots are trying to be funny on the text line, and I see, Barry, you saved them all.
Oh, yeah,
but
flagged
all
those.
People, by the way, last time I checked, unless you're a fan of the Niners or the Patriots, if you want to go and make your little comments about the Packers suck, they don't suck as bad as your team, so suck that. Thank you.
Yeah, let's get to a couple texts. The Packers do suck, though. That was a text. Here's another text. The Packers do suck,
hey,
though.
Nick, that's whoa!
That's another text. Somebody did say, Joel, it's like being a Cowboys fan in H-Town. Unprovoked hate.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but you earn it, too, though.
We
that
beat
hate
them, too,
earned.
So it's fine.
We?
Yep. I did that for you, Princess.
Boy.
You're welcome.
Did you watch any of that game last night?
Which one?
Rockets.
Of course I did. I watched almost all of it.
And?
What do you want me to tell you?
I mean, I don't need three segments.
Nick and I were actually talking about going from after Sigmund Bloom all the way to Sarah Barshop on just Rockets, if that's something sweet. That... Yeah.
So
something
you're saying I have an hour everybody. Off.
Pretty much. You can go back off. On the park bench and hope there's another blind man dogfight.
Hey, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I looked at the box score. So how telling or how indicative of how the game went is the box score? Because I see that Russell Westbrook shot better from three-point range than James Harden did.
Yep.
And I thought, what the hell happened?
So it's a work in progress regardless. But a team that – this is typical Rockets from even before Russell Westbrook, so you can't blame him. The only thing – let me start by saying with a triple-double. The only thing you can blame Russell Westbrook for is he went cold in the fourth quarter when they really needed him because James Harden sucked. And James Harden shot the ball poorly all night long. And it's going to be a work in progress just to get everybody kind of on the same page. But Westbrook played his ass off. And so I'm not going to blame him too much. But when I look at
what Harden did not, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And I think, thankfully, James is maturing a little bit. After the game, he actually stepped up and put the blame on his shoulders, which I was happy to see. Because anybody that knows basketball that watched the game, that's where everybody would have started. But overall, here's another scenario where the Rockets have a 16-point lead against a team that a lot of people are favoring to win the East. They're in command of the ball game. They get lackadaisical. They don't take care of the ball. They stop playing defense, and James was a catalyst there too. And they let Milwaukee not only back in the game, but Barry, if I told you, because you didn't watch the game, if I told you the Greek Freak was going to foul out with 5 minutes to go in the game,
oh yeah,
in a That's close game, game and you game still blouses. Lost.
Yeah.
And they still put 39 points on you in the fourth quarter.
Yeesh.
That's what
total defensive collapse. It sounds like.
Yeah, I missed like the first and part of the second quarter because I was at the Twin Peaks.
So half of the game.
Almost half of the game. But everything I saw in the second half was, please don't tell me this is another season of we're going to score 35, 40 points on you in the first and second, and then when it comes down to the third and fourth, my hot box score take, of course. You don't show up. And the fact that, like Joel mentioned, 5 minutes left in the game and you still can't score, that is what I just do not want to see. Like, if you're going to lose, just don't lose that way. Like, just please don't lose that way. Because you have two of the best players in the game, and obviously they still have to work with each other and learn how to mesh. Please have an offensive stride in the third and the fourth quarter. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, from the looks of the box score, it looks like James was running the offense because he doubled up Westbrook in assists, and no one else was even close. James Harden had 14 assists. The rest of the team had, what, 11 combined? House and Westbrook and McLemore, and that's all I see that got assists. So was that the case? Was James the pivot point of this offense?
I mean, he tried to be because, I mean, the way he – 2 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 8 from 3, he's going to have to find another way to be effective. So he was trying to, you know, utilize other talents to keep the team in the ball game. But even
14 of 14 from the free throw line, so he obviously was getting
Yeah, he was getting to the line. He was like 10 of 10 early on in the first half too. But again, in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line, I mean, he crotched a three where it barely grazed the side iron and got, you know, stuck between the rim and the glass for a brief second. He just obviously was way off in terms of his rhythm and his shot. But when you look at it, the positives that I will take from this game is that with everybody worried about Gerald Green and him not being anymore, I'll tell you who impressed me was Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore made 2 threes. He's 2 for 5 from three, but he came in, he was active, and he can be your Gerald Green type guy because he came in the first half, he knocked 2 of his first threes down, and then if you don't need him the rest of the game, that's fine. On the flip side, Austin Rivers, 12 minutes, 3 points, 0 for 3 from the floor and from three. All three were threes. Cephalosha didn't score. They still and Eric Gordon missed his last 7 threes. So, again, I said this year, unlike last year, it's round peg, round hole. They got more guys that fit the system. But in order to make the system work at its peak performance level, you got to make shots. And they just overall didn't make shots. When you look at their three-point percentage, and they shot 33% as a team, but that's because, you know, you had a few guys that made Tucker 5 of 8, Westbrook 3 of 7, House 2 of 4, but for the most part, everybody else was just awful, and McLemore 2 of 5. They got to make more threes, and offensively, they've got to have more guys contribute by making shots, but it's the first game of the season, too, so I'm not going to get, you know, too down on them, but there's definitely a lot of work to do, and I think more so than anything else, their defense, again, you didn't see it, Barry, but you know, Chris Webber kept saying they went back to old school basketball. They put the Milwaukee put the ball when the Greek Freak fouled out. They put the ball in Brook Lopez's hands in the low post because PJ Tucker was on him, and he pretty much scored about 12 points. And at the end of the game, someone asked Mike D'Antoni, "Did you ever think about putting Capella back in the game just to have a bigger body on him?" Because he was shooting over PJ Tucker. And when D'Antoni said no, I don't care why his reasoning was after that. That's on a coach. When you realize that a 7-foot guy is shooting over your 6'4.5 power forward, and you never thought about putting your 7-foot center back in the game to guard him, why? That's ridiculous.
Well, they better figure it out. If the playoffs started today,
okay, here we go. Well, according to you, the season doesn't even start till Christmas Day. So.
I feel like we've already spent too long on basketball.
Yeah. So that's my quick and easy Rockets take for you people. Yeah. So you can chime in on that whenever you feel like it.
Game one. I mean, I just was more interested to see how the two played. But that's obviously going to take time to get the chemistry back between them and the rest of the team and how it all fits in. So,
well, the other big thing too was they weren't crapping on each other, and it's early, but they, you know, basically James was like, "I got to play better. That's on me." And you saw what Russ can be to this team, and you saw how tenacious he is and what he brings to the table. So, look, the one thing that was solidified is those guys are boys, and that's not going to change. It's just, like I said, it's kind of like people that are crapping on the Lakers, even the Clippers early, but the Clippers kept most of their nucleus together. When you're crapping on the Lakers or Rockets or teams like that that have brought in, you know, several new faces, especially guys that are in the rotation, it's not going to be handled in training camp and be done overnight. It's going to take time. It's a process. And I would expect, like Nick said, I need to be about 20 games in before I pass, like, real hard judgment on this Rockets team. So,
hey, guys, if you want to bet on your Rockets, you can absolutely do that with MyBookie. I mean, we're in the middle of football season, and that's what people love to wager on. But don't forget, you can bet basketball. You can bet baseball. You feel like your Astros are going to make a comeback, want to put some money on it, put your money where your mouth is. No better place to do that than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. They've got odds on every game out there, more prop bets than any other sports book in the business. And I keep telling you this, but it's so important. That's why I want to remind you, nobody pays you faster. You get your cash when you want it. It's super important that you keep that in mind when you're figuring out who you want to wager with, because who you bet on is as important as who you bet with. Nobody's better in the business at it than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. And again, they've got all the parlays, the teasers, whatever you want. But remember that you're going to get your cash out when you want it. Look, I've told you the stories. There's horror stories in this business where people go to get their money and they get the runaround, and 6, 7, 8 months later, they still can't get their cash out of their account. Not with MyBookie. You get paid when you want it. Nobody pays you faster. And hey, they've got a deal right now. If you sign up using promo code radio, they'll double your first deposit up to $1,000. And free money to play and wager how you see fit over at MyBookie. Go sign up right now. Do yourself a favor. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie.ag. Use that promo code radio and take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. Y'all, it's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back back on the second half of The Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday. F for fantasy football, because we were unable to get Sigmund Bloom in here yesterday. Our fault, because we were on remote at Twin Peaks. He's doing us a solid, and because people just were going through withdrawals, we couldn't go two straight weeks without Sigmund Bloom. He joins us right now, again, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. And footballguys.com, everything and anything you need, fantasy football. He's the best in the business. Sigmund, we appreciate you joining us, as always, and missed you greatly last week.
Diversion from a sports diversion from sports. I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety in the air. And I love the old school Red Hot Chili Peppers bumper there.
Yep, that's my man Nick, keeping it real.
Hey, Sigmund, what's the big news out of the fantasy world that our peeps need to know about?
Yeah, it looks like David Johnson's a game-time decision. We're not going to trust him, but whether he's active or not is going to affect whether we play Chase Edmonds. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to play. Matt Moore will get to start Sunday night. You know, that downgrades a lot of our Kansas City Chiefs. Sammy Watkins will be back for that one. Matt Ryan is a game-time decision. I expect him to play. Drew Brees might come back this week. Sean Payton refused to name a starter, so we'll have to wait until Sunday morning for that one. Keenan Allen, probably the biggest name this week affected by injury. He hasn't practiced on Thursday or Friday, and he's a game time decision at best.
If you're a fantasy owner that took the flyer on Josh Gordon and it started to look like it was going to pay dividends, now New England does what they do. Do you just cut him and just it's a wash?
It is because we don't know when he's going to be healthy enough to play, probably in a few weeks though. We don't know where he's going to land. We don't know what his opportunity is going to be. We don't know how he's going to mesh with his quarterback. That's just a lot of we don't knows when you could be using that roster spot to help your team.
Hey, Sigmund.
Yeah.
What do you make of the Mohamed Sanu situation? Because he's going to be with a new team, and I know his projections have been okay. He's not been terrible. He's a great wide receiver three, but do you trust him week one in a new system?
I don't think so. And then they've been coveting him for a while. Jacoby Myers, the undrafted rookie, is playing well. I expect him to still see some time this week. Actually, of the two wide receivers who changed teams, I like Emmanuel Sanders better. And like Sanu, the 49ers have been after Sanders for a while. He knows the Kyle Shanahan offense. There's no ramp-up time for him. And they don't have a number one receiver. They didn't really even have a number two receiver coming out of camp. He could get a majority of the targets.
Okay, cool. Hey, real quick, before we get started, if you guys want to get in on the phone line, 713-780-3776 is the number. Now's your chance to get your fantasy questions answered by one of the best in the business with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. So hop on the phone, 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. And since I'm in Wichita, Joel's going to drive this week. So, Joel, I'll butt in if we got any text messages, but I'm going to turn it over to you, man.
Got it. Mike, you're first up for fantasy questions for Sigmund. What do you got for us today?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, start Ty Johnson or Austin Eckler?
Yeah, I would go with Eckler here. And again, without Keenan Allen or even with the diminished Keenan Allen, I think Eckler is going to remain a big part of the passing game. I wasn't that impressed with Ty Johnson. It's a good matchup against the Giants. I think J.D. McKissick is still good here. So I would leave Eckler in the lineup.
Sigmund, if you're looking at Drew Brees as your number one option, and you know there's a good chance they said he's going to come back, is he worth starting, or do you still start your backup one more week because you just don't know how long he's going to go against the Cardinals?
I think he's worth starting because of the matchup, because it's Arizona, because he's at home. Now, if your backup's Jared Goff against Cincinnati, well, then maybe I'll make an exception.
You've seen my roster? Okay. Ryan wants to get in here on Fantasy Football Talk. Ryan, what's up?
Yes, sir. How do you feel about Benny Snell against Miami this week? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, funny thing, Jalen Samuels coming out of the bye has practiced in full each of the last 2 days. So I actually think that Samuels will be the backup to James Conner, and even though they might not use him throwing passes out of the Wildcat anymore, I do think he deserves some work. So he is the handcuff to Conner, who's been on the injury report for 3 different injuries already this year, I think.
What's the deal with Devontae Adams in Green Bay? We know he had turf toe. Now they're saying he's close. Do you play him Sunday night against the Chiefs because it's a tough position?
They're not going to play him either. Look, the Packers have had a very conservative medical staff, and that Adams is out there doing football things is one step, but he's not practicing yet, not practicing really in a limited fashion with the team. So they're going to be smart about this. Aaron Rodgers had no problems without him last week. They're going to be smart. I think we might see him next week, but maybe even week 10 could be the most likely the week where he returns.
There you go. Good information there. All right. Calls are still rolling in. Barry, you got anything off the text line?
Yeah, for sure. Several texts coming in. Chubb, Phillip Lindsay, or Golden Tate, half PPR flex?
I'll still stick with Chubb. You know he's going to get 20 touches against the Patriots. If they have a chance, it's just running Chubb all day.
Well, this says Matt Stafford, but we know he meant Matt Stafford or Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, Stafford's a good play this week, too, against the Giants. So just with a little uncertainty, assuming Brees is the starter with that thumb and how it feels, I'd go with Stafford.
All right, more quarterback questions. Josh Allen or Kyle Murray? Kyler Murray, excuse me.
Josh Allen. Kyler Murray's in the Superdome. It's going to be imposing for him. Josh Allen gets the Philadelphia secondary, which is not imposing at all.
All right, Blaine had a question on the text line. OBJ or Cooks in a PPR league?
Going with Cooks. I mean, Bill Belichick's going to take away Odell Beckham Jr. There's one player who is going to be focused on. That's who it is. Belichick even said he told him that before the game. Last time, I think he had a long touchdown catch the one time he faced Belichick before he was basically blanketed. The Cleveland offense isn't playing well enough for me to trust them against this defense. I put Cooks in against Cincinnati.
713-780-3776. You can text the show. You can call the show. If you have questions for one of the best in the business, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com, get on the phone. That is the priority. I understand we got more, so Joel, take it away.
Yeah, Jeremiah, you're up. What do you got for Sigmund?
So I was wondering about Deshaun Hopkins or Larry Fitzgerald. And then on my defense, I've got the Houston Texans, which I think is going to be tough against the Colts, and then the 49ers. Just to start up with those two.
Yeah, I would say Fitzgerald goes to the bench. Again, tough matchup in New Orleans. And I like the 49ers defense. Kyle Allen, while he's won, he hasn't faced a defense like San Francisco's defense yet. I would expect that they're going to have an excellent afternoon. I would actually expect Houston and Oakland to be a high-scoring game.
Okay, Bart's next. He's got a question for Sigmund. Bart, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in a PPR. I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chris Godwin, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, and Devontae Freeman. Which one do I drop?
I think you're dropping Freeman at this point, just because the running game's not going, and he's had a few decent games. But I think Atlanta in general might be swirling down the drain right now.
Cool. Bonds, you're up next for Sigmund. What do you got?
Yeah, I got Rodgers or Brees, and then also do I start Jacobs since he's on the injury?
Yeah. Rodgers, you got to leave in after what he did last week. Jacobs hasn't practiced. He said he could practice, play without practicing. He's a rookie. I mean, you know, John Gruden is unpredictable, but I would expect we're not going to see Jacobs. DeAndre Washington is the healthier of the two running backs behind him, but chances are it's going to be a lot of Derek Carr against Texas this weekend.
Whee! All right, back to the text line. Matt Moore starting, is Green Bay's defense worth a start?
It depends on the other option. I mean, I can imagine worse options than Green Bay, although really they didn't slow down Oakland last week until they got to the goal line. So they're not exactly coming in strong. I would try to find someone else if possible.
All right, Alan wants to know, Jimmy Graham or Greg Olsen?
Jimmy Graham, he's playing well. Rodgers is playing well. Kansas City's defense is always very generous. Again, with Greg Olsen, San Francisco. I would just say don't expect any fantasy overachievers in that Panthers 49ers game.
Somebody wants to know about Tyreek Hill. Do you trust him if Mahomes is out?
You still got to play him. I mean, we saw last week he took a simple crossing pattern to the house, and you know he's going to be a focus of the passing game. So I would have to be really stacked a wide receiver to have Hill on the bench.
Somebody wants to know, Austin Hooper or Golden Tate? And that is interesting about Tate, and do you trust him in that offense at all?
Yeah. Well, it's a revenge game against the Lions, remember? You know, Hooper's going to get his – if I knew Matt Ryan was playing, I'd probably say Hooper for sure. If it's Matt Schaub, that makes it a little dicier. You know, Golden Tate's going to probably get five or six catches without Sterling Shepard. So the way things stand right now, I'll say Tate, but switch it to Hooper if Matt Ryan plays.
Brandon,
back to the
you're
phone
next.
Lines.
Yep, Brandon, we got running out of time, so make it quick. Question for Sigmund.
Hey, what's up? I just got a trade offer to me. I currently have Carson Wentz as my quarterback. He wants DeAndre Hopkins for Pat Mahomes. Do I do it?
Ooh. Mahomes will be back in a week or two. I would address your quarterback position, but just for the next couple of weeks, Wentz's schedule is going to get better. I wouldn't give up Hopkins. I would maybe try to get Ryan Tannehill from the waiver wire and play him over Wentz this week.
Wow, there's a But I see what you're saying because you got to keep your roster intact. Jimbo wants to get
Tampa.
In here. Well, that's true. Jimbo wants to get in here for Sigmund. What do you got, Jimbo?
For a flex, John Brown, Smith-Schuster, or James White?
You had me at John Brown. He was playing lights out. Philly secondary is terrible. I just hope that Josh Allen can find him deep once. I'm putting John Brown in.
There you go. What about the fact that Matt Ryan, as you mentioned, is questionable? Atlanta looks like a bad team getting worse and probably wants to tank. If you got Matt Ryan as your number one, do you even chance it?
Well, this week, depending on my other choice, I might, because their defense is so bad that he has to pass all day to keep up with the competition. Seattle's defense doesn't scare me. Ryan's tough. They have a bye next week, so I think if they're playing him, they assume he'll be close to full capabilities. I have him around quarterback 9 or 10 this week, you know, pending whether he's active.
All right, there you go. Our fantasy football expert, Sigmund, we always appreciate you, especially appreciate you making time on a Friday. Have a great weekend. And again, if you want to follow Sigmund Bloom, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter or footballguys.com, sign up, get all your information, because he keeps you up to date right up to kickoff. We appreciate you, my man.
My great pleasure.
There you go, Sigmund Bloom. Hey, before we hit a break, I want to tell you guys about the Houstonia. I've been telling you about them for a long period of time now. I know you guys all have busy schedules. Whether you're looking to do something with your significant other and you don't have the time to either drive or fly 3 or 4 hours and get out of town, or you're just looking for a great way for the family to get away without having to spend so much money on all the travel expenses, you don't have to. Right in your own backyard, it's the Houstonian, and they've got everything you could possibly need, starting with 27 wooded acres for nature hikes and jogging, and the tennis courts are phenomenal. How about the health club, 175,000 square feet. And of course, we go from there, 3 temperature controlled pools, a separate children's pool. And you know, they're going to pamper you. They're going to make sure the rooms are beautiful and everything you need is there. If you want to pamper yourself, they've got one of the best spas in the country at Trellis and all of the fantastic restaurants right at your fingertips. Tribute, the Manor House, Arbor Grill and the Bar. Whether you want to get dressed up a little bit or just get your great food and keep on going with all that you have to do while you're at the Houstonian, it's only a small trip away. They're in the Galleria area, so they're right here in the heart of Houston, and you can enjoy all the amenities. I keep telling you, if you don't believe me, just go to Houstonian.com and let the video roll. You're going to see what I'm talking about. You don't have to drive or fly 3 or 4 hours to have the ultimate in a pampering staycation right in your home city. Check it out, Houstonian.com. You're going to be glad you did, and believe me, whether it's for business or pleasure, they have meeting rooms and otherwise. It's the one-stop destination when you're thinking about hotels, staycations, and otherwise. It's Houstonian and Houstonian.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show on an FYI Friday. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And as a special treat, we normally go to our hotel guy, Steve, when the Texans are on the road. But because your favorite baseball team is in the World Series in one Washington, D.C., Steve has decided to pop in and join us. It's always a pleasure to have him on the show. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Great to be back.
Hold on. Nick, hit that top blue button. Yep, there you go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. Great to see you guys.
Always good to have you along. So you wanted to give the peeps a little information as we get into all of this about Astros and travel in D.C. I saw a lot of fans heading to our nation's capital for the weekend. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, so I thought that we'd change up the program a little bit today, and we're going to start with some trivia from District of Columbia. Barry, are you on there?
I am here.
Okay,
what's up,
buddy,
man?
How are you?
Good
to hear your voice. Okay, listen.
Don't lie to the man. Go ahead. Trivia.
Right, I am lying.
All right.
First question, true or false? 2 of our presidents had a pet alligator at the White House.
True.
I'll go true as well.
Yeah, you're right. True. Can you tell me who they were?
No.
It wasn't Wilson.
Roosevelt.
Herbert Hoover.
Okay.
John Quincy Adams.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Barry went to school with John Quincy Adams.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, you have
fun fact, Joel helped build the White House. So.
It's true.
We're getting there. We're working our way down.
I changed
there.
The color, though. Go ahead.
Okay, guys, do you have any idea what those presidents did with the alligators after they were out of the White House?
Made boots out of them. I have no idea.
Ate them.
Well, that's exactly what I would have done. I would have made cowboy boots and I would have ate them.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, good job.
Is that true what they did?
No, I have no idea.
Oh. So it's a trivia question without an answer. Fantastic. All right.
I made that up.
He's out there just making up stuff.
Well played, sir. All right, let's go.
Okay, next question. Which president watched the most amount of movies in the White House while serving in the White House?
I know this.
Well, I'll say
ahead,
Eisenhower.
Joel. Nope, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, that is right.
Boom!
Good job, Barry.
Suck it,
now,
Joel.
How many movies did he watch?
Yeah, Barry, answer that.
69.
It wasn't porn, Barry.
So childish.
Jeez.
I have no idea.
How many? 480.
What?
How do you know that?
Okay. Now,
I don't.
How many
ever...
terms did Jimmy Carter serve?
One.
One.
That's right. How many movies per day is that?
It's more than one.
That's over 100 a year.
I don't know what
that,
I don't know what that says that's about two President a day. Carter, but that's a lot of movies. Okay, that's moving on.
I mean, look, my math isn't great, but a four-year term, 100 movies a year, there's 52 weeks in a year, so that's what, two a week?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a
I
lot
see
of
like
movies.
Two a year.
Barry, okay, you have analytics in your future.
Next
yeah,
question.
I don't think I've seen 400 movies, so that's impressive.
Who was the first president to live in the White House?
Ooh.
Boy.
I don't know, Joel, you were there.
Yeah, I'll go John Quincy Adams.
That is correct.
Boom, ooh, Barry, suck it back!
Good job.
Okay, next question. Who was the District of Columbia named after?
A Colombian.
Oh, my God.
Barry.
Christopher Columbus.
Boom. Good job.
Oh, my God.
Good job, Barry Laminack. Okay, last
yeah.
one. Last question before we move on from
this
trivia.
This is fun, me beating Joel. This is great.
2-1.
We
better
can't
than beating
see if you're
yourself.
Googling
never mind.
Either.
Better than beating yourself. Go ahead.
All okay, right. Next question. Did you know
no.
that the White House was originally constructed as a hotel?
Oh, I did not know that.
I didn't
is
know
that
true?
Either.
That's not true.
False.
No, I mean,
false.
That is
false.
Not true. But listen,
oh.
but hang on.
I hate you so
if
much.
I was serving in the White House, I would be renting rooms today.
Right?
Right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that's what I do.
Yeah.
And
do.
I'm kind of surprised that President Trump has never rented any rooms while he's in there.
While he's got the Trump hotels. Plus, he'd keep the remotes clean.
Exactly.
If you were running it, we know
yeah.
the remotes
right,
would be
exactly,
clean. With
because
Trump, I don't know. Those hands are kind of dirty.
Right. We
you know what I mean?
The secret weapon.
That's right.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about D.C. hotels. Guys, if you're up there or if you're planning to go to Washington, D.C., the Jefferson Hotel is absolutely the best place. It's an independent hotel. It's a fine, luxury, small hotel. Only 99 rooms. This hotel was built in 1923 as luxury apartments, and then in 1955 it was converted to a hotel. The bar, even if you don't stay at the Jefferson, I always recommend going by the bar for a cocktail. You never know who you're going to see. Lots of politicians hang out there. And in fact, my contact from the Jefferson tells me that from time to time, Pelosi and McConnell together have been spotted in a corner bar.
Wow.
At the Jefferson. So,
that's how stuff gets done in this country.
Right, exactly. Right there at the Jefferson
yeah.
Hotel. And listen, the great thing about it is it's only 4 miles from Nationals Park.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's a short Uber ride over. So stay at the Jefferson Hotel. Check it out. There are two Jeffersons. Always Google Jefferson Hotel DC. That's where you want to stay. Okay, let's talk about something else real quick.
Okay.
Barry, we're going to talk about hotel resort fees.
Because you know that's where Barry stays when he's on the road doing comedy, resorts.
Right. Okay, yeah. So Barry, do you know what a resort fee is?
I'll take that as a no.
Okay, he doesn't know. All right. By definition, since Barry was quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. A resort fee by definition is a fee that a guest is charged by an accommodation provider, also known as a hotel,
right,
that is usually calculated on a per-day basis in addition to a room rate. So here's the thing. Resort fees have been in the news a lot lately, and everybody knows when you book a hotel room, whether it's by voice with the hotel directly or over the internet, that you're going to pay for that room, and then there are going to be taxes applied. In the city of Houston, if you check into the Houstonian or any other hotel, you're going to pay 17% taxes on top of that.
Wow.
What is becoming an issue in my industry are resort fees. And the reason it's becoming an issue is that some hotels tack on a resort fee that could be as much as $95 a night.
Oof.
And you know that, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
The reason it's an issue is and has become an issue is because a lot of hotels don't disclose it on the front end, so you'll never know that you're going to pay or be assessed a resort fee until you've actually checked in at the front desk or, even worse, when you're on your way out. So these things are in the news. Do you guys, Barry, are you with us?
I think we're reconnecting.
Okay,
so
we're reconnecting.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joel.
Yes.
Do you know why hotels charge resort fees?
Free money?
Yep, that's exactly right. What you need to do is think in terms of the airlines. This is like checking your luggage. Remember when that changed and there was a fee, a
yep,
luggage
sure,
fee? It's basically the same thing. And what hotels will tell you out there by and large is that it's for Wi-Fi. It could be for bottled water. It could be for pool usage, fitness room. But basically all they're doing is increasing their revenues. And the reason that I'm bringing this to your attention again is because oftentimes a lot of hotels don't disclose this on the front end.
Yeah. Does everybody do it? Is there a way to avoid it?
So there is a way to avoid it. Speaking of District of Columbia, the attorneys general of the District of Columbia and Nebraska have filed suit against two major branded hotel companies for deceptive and misleading practices. So you want to watch for this in the news. And the best way that you can avoid resort fees is inquiring when you're in the reservation process. Always ask that question. Because they are easily avoidable. And the good thing about Houston and our market is we're not a market that is known for assessing resort fees. Markets like Miami, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Diego, New York City, those are all markets that are known, are notorious for charging resort fees.
It's a good tip right there, my man.
Yeah. And lastly, the most important thing that I can ask you to remember about resort fees is that the Houstonian Hotel never charges.
I knew that was going to be tie-in right there. I love that. So, again, another reason why if you're looking for a staycation and place to go, you hear me talking about it all the time, there's no better place than the Houstonian. Go to Houstonian.com. You're probably going to see our hotel guy, Steve Fronterhouse, because it is his front of house and back of house and all of house, and he runs a tight ship, clean remotes, clean comforters, bathtubs, everything, right?
We've got the secret weapon. Go Stros, go Texans. Thanks for having me, guys.
There
have a great weekend.
That's Steve. And by the way, he brought in some smoked crab claws. Suck it, Barry, because you can't. Because you don't get any, I get them all. That's the way we do business around here when you're on the road. But we've got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock. Remember, Sarah Barshop, the Texans beat reporter, joining us at 3:30. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. All right here, ESPN 97.5.